Hey everyone, welcome back to the Retire While You Work podcast. I'm Miles Zuger and I'm joined here with David Adams and Jerry Ann Agee. And today, the topic that's been coming up quite a bit here with clients and just through conversing with some of our clients is teaching kids about money. I think when we all internally here talk about the way that we learned about money in school, it was pretty non-existent. I think I remember maybe 2 weeks where they taught us maybe how to balance a checkbook. And I still don't know that I can actually balance a checkbook, especially because you don't really have to do it with banking essentially being completely online. And so I think it's getting harder and harder for this topic to teach your kids about money and the value of money, especially in today's world. And so it's something that we just kind of wanted to touch on and explore with you all today.
Yeah, this is David. I'm thinking back to like when I was in school. I mean, there was really, and Jerry, I don't know about you, there was really almost no discussion about money. I mean, we had math classes and all that, but it might have been like, I can't even think of a single bit.
I mean, I remember my mom teaching me how to write a check. I don't remember learning any of that in school. And honestly, they don't teach you really, with my three kids have all gone through school. They don't really teach you any more today than they did back in the day.
Which blows my mind. I mean, all of my learning for money, again, came from like my dad helping me start a yard business and, you know, buying his mower and then cutting yards and getting a $20 bill and then like, you know, having a bank account or knowing where to put it or how to save it, whether it was in envelopes and that sort of thing. But that all came from actually working, making money, and my dad walking me through it. So, I mean, the thought that nowadays there's still not that much more is kind of mind blowing.
Yeah. Carson and I were sitting down with, a student from Belmont a couple weeks ago. He just wanted to come in and learn how we got started in the business. And he's a finance major there. And I don't remember how it got brought up, but somehow the topic of checks got brought up. And I think he was like 22 and he said he had never written a check before.
No,
so
I
like
left,
basically
I left
they're
a,
non-existent at this point.
Yeah. I left a blank check for somebody that was coming to do some work on our house. And I told my daughter to fill out the check and give it to the guy. And she literally was like, I have no idea how to do that.
Okay. But I guess if we told kid how to, you know, start the VCR and record something,
oh yeah,
not
yeah.
To do that either. So I guess it's all relative. But that is crazy to think about. But yeah, I mean, just to the topic of talking to kids about money and educating kids, obviously different age brackets of kids. I'm thinking like we've here in our office, I know we've done a couple of things. We've had, you know, kids in that. I mean, we did our first kids camps last year where we had kids like 5 to 12. Parents would drop them off and we went through some, you know, some fun exercises where we talked about three buckets of money: saving, investing, and giving. And it was fascinating the things that came out of those kids' mouths, but it was a lot of fun. And they did a little lemonade stand and got to learn about what to do with money and that sort of thing. And then we have clients that have their kids that are, you know, teenagers about to go to college, graduating high school, where they ask if they can bring their kids in to meet with us one-on-one or with their parents, where we actually do some more. A lot of times it's like the parents are like, hey, my daughter's 17 and she made $5,000 this past summer. Can she invest it? Should she do a Roth IRA? You know, that sort of thing. So I know we've definitely been doing some of that.
Yeah. And I think the easiest things, I think we saw with the lemonade stand, I feel like that was one of the kids' favorite parts of that day, was that just the hands-on part of money and like allowing them to start a small business, so to speak, and
right.
Go out. And we had them running up and down the street marketing with adult supervision. And
right.
so we didn't lose any of them, and just teaching them how to market it, how to, you know, make a product and then sell it. And then at the end, you know, we divided up some of the cash amongst them. And I think, you know, we did the classroom style stuff as well, but I think just getting hands-on experience with them was probably for the most fun for them, and they learned the most through doing that, I would imagine.
Yeah, I agree. The interaction, like you said, the whole cycle of like, okay, how do I get money to begin with? Well, I've got to have a job, or I've got to go and produce something of value. And then that
or
means,
what do I do with the money once I have it?
Yeah, yeah. Or I got to go talk to people to ask if they'll buy my product, which, you know, a lot of, you know, social skills are changing these days with technology and everything. So forcing them to get out and say, hey, excuse me, I know you're eating lunch. Can I ask you if you'd like to buy a glass of lemonade? You know, that sort of thing. Like, all those skills, I think, are, you know, tie into money. But certainly, you know, the education of, you know, for kids about what to do with money when you do have it, and setting that, you know, precedent before they go off to college and they're on their own and they're getting credit card applications waved in front of their faces, you know, really, really important. And so I know we're trying to do that, but we can only, you know, touch so many, you know, clients, children's, you know, situations as they come to us. But just from a broad perspective, I think, you know, there needs to be more education out there. So
I think it's also based on, I think if you start early teaching them the basics, kind of like we did in our kids camp with just, here's your money. How much do you want to save? How much do you want to give? What do you want to buy? That kind of thing. And the earlier you start with that, the better they're going to be with money. I mean, with my kids being older now, I definitely try to hammer home the three buckets of money. And so with them being older, that is making sense to them. Like my oldest Yes. daughter has that down pat. She has her pay herself first into her emergency savings and her 401k. Then she has her, you know, she pays her bills and rent. Then she has her little stock account. And
right.
So my other daughter has no idea what's going on with money.
What were maybe a couple of things you did with them when they were younger, like maybe like 10 years old? How did you start early at that age as the only person on this episode with kids?
Started with an allowance.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really, they don't have any other real way when they're young to make money. So an allowance was always good. We were never great about having them save their allowance, though. We kind of let them spend it on whatever they wanted to, but at least they had those, they knew they had options. And so the older they got, I mean, they just became more aware of that there's options with their money. They don't need to just spend it all, which is what kids think sometimes when they get money.
Well, what I found really interesting and entertaining was doing with the kids camp, the kids between 5 to 12 last summer. It's just asking the questions of we had three buckets on the table. And we said, okay, you know, you can save, you can give, and you can spend. And just asking them at first, I would go around. We gave them some like Monopoly money. I think we gave them like $100. So like, all right, walk around and put however much you want to in each bucket, and then tell us why you chose that amount of money. And you know, some kids were, you know, just like people were all different. Some kids were like, I'm going to spend it all. And then others were like, I'm going to save it all. And then I don't want to spend any. And some like, I'm going to give it all. And then of course, combinations of. And what was interesting is that then opens up a dialogue, because your kid is going to be wired, you know, a certain way. They're going to have a propensity to want to, you know, I'm going to go and spend all this money and buy toys, or I'm going to give it away. So I think if that opens the door to a conversation to have and be like, all right, so I understand that's really sweet that you want to give all your money away, and that's great. But have you thought what about paying bills in the future, or buying food, or like, don't you need every once in a while, even take $10 and maybe buy something fun for yourself? And having the conversation, and vice versa, if they want to spend it all, I think that's some healthy conversations that parents can have with kids early and identify where your kids are even at on that spectrum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd agree with that. I was at a conference recently, and the big thing, there was a whole topic on kids and money. And the big thing that the speaker talked about was just teaching kids how to create value. So his big thing was that you shouldn't actually pay your kids for chores, because that's like their contribution to the household. That's just mm-hmm. their responsibility in the family. It was building other tasks that they could do, maybe. And it could have been tied to learning. So maybe it was they listened to a podcast and gave you a little report on it. Or maybe the other things that they had them do was like, they could help plan the family vacation that year. And any money that they saved through helping to do that, they got to keep a percentage of it. So it was just teaching them little ways to create value for the family, of which they got to participate in and were rewarded for doing so. I thought it was kind of a cool way to go about it. I do remember now.
That's really cool, actually. I haven't heard that, but the idea.
I do remember giving them money for good grades.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, I got that.
That was very motivational for them. I'd give them a certain amount for every A.
Yeah, I think we had that too. I mean, I remember like an A was this amount, and then a B might be this amount. And mm-hmm. then, you know, that was rewarding you for effort, you know, a job at that time. And then that is interesting though, like the chores around the house, the basic chores, just being like, that's your ticket to having, you know, to entry into this house and being able to have a, you know, all the food that mom and dad make and that sort of thing, and a nice place to sleep. Very interesting.
The other thing he talked about too was that you should never like buy the, if your kids are going to a birthday party for a friend, you should never buy the present that they're going to give to their friend. You should make them use their own money that they earned to buy that present. Because if you buy it and then they go to the party, they're just going to set it on the table and it's kind of over with. But if they've like handpicked that gift, paid for it, he said, like, kids are on the edge of their seat waiting for their friend to open that present because they're much more bought into this gift that they bought them.
Like, yeah. How much do you like your friend?
Yeah. I mean, really, yeah, it is kind of.
What can I get for $10?
But even that thought process with kids, you know, having for them to have to go through that mental routine of deciding those things teaches them a lot about money versus mm-hmm. if you're just totally like disconnected from it, like, I don't know what you got. Like, mom, you know, mom bought yeah. this or dad bought this. A lot of opportunities to educate. The main thing is just to have some sort of plan, you know, to help educate, you know, to help educate your kids, and then allowing, you know, we enjoy it. That's something obviously people that are listening that are clients of ours, that's they should know that we do that. And if you don't, certainly let us know. We're happy to talk to your kids. And there's different, I'm sure there's different different programs. I know there's different books once you get up into the teenage years. But yeah, I'm still just like sitting here ruminating on the fact that schools don't have like an entire semester course on money 101. Cause I mean, we should be teaching, you know, the basics of like credit and debt, just understanding yeah. like, hey, so, you know, obviously not a 5-year-old, but I mean, even young kids, you could say,
I mean, budgeting, they should borrow learn money, about budgeting
debt. You just say borrow money. So, okay. You need, hey, mom and dad, I've got $5. I want to buy my friend a birthday present, but it costs 20. It's like, okay, do you want to borrow $15? Like, well, what is borrowing mean? Well, you'll have to pay it back. Like, ooh, I don't want to pay you back. Just them getting to understand the mechanics of working, making money, spending money you have or spending money you don't have, which is debt. And sometimes how debt can be used as they get older, then they can learn, they understand what borrowing is. But you can say, remember how you used to borrow money, you didn't like it? Well, borrowing money to buy a house, that's okay. That actually makes sense because a house is so expensive and the biggest purchase of your life. So therefore it's okay to use the bank for that to kind of help them understand the differences. And I think, you know, there's a great opportunity there for sure.
Yeah. Cause I mean, and a lot of it's just framed by, you know, the parent for better or for worse, it's just framed by parents. If you have parents that have, you know, leveraged debt in a good way and it's helped them get ahead, parents are going to be more willing to teach a lesson like that. But if you have, you know, parents who have gotten in trouble with debt before, or were just wanted nothing to do with debt, and, you know, you thought about, you had to pay for everything in cash, that's going to frame a child's mindset in a different way also.
Oh yeah. Definitely. I remember, I remember just getting allowance, getting money for grades, and then how, you know, then starting a yard business and how much different that was, and like actually being out there and sweating and then having the lawnmower break down, and then, oh, now I got to get my dad's like, well, we got to get it fixed. And how much is that going to be? So like so many things, you know, by actually getting involved is the main thing that
yeah, I think getting involved and teaching them along the way, instead of just doing it for them or paying for it for them or
sure.
not making it a real issue for them because you're just taking care of it.
Even if you got $20 million and you can afford to do it, you know, it's just the, you know, mm-hmm. the concept of teaching them. I remember like some of the biggest lessons I learned about the value, kind of understanding the comparing prices and the concept of value, was my dad was in retail. So as a kid, I'd go to like, my mom would take me to a store and I'd walk around and see the price of clothes. I'm like, dad, what is, so 30% off, 30% off of 20. Why is that? You know, what does that mean? Like, what is the price and how does that? So like learning like, oh, it's on sale. I like sales. Mm-hmm. I want to only get stuff. What's the red sticker mean? That means it's really on sale. You know, things like that. Like just having kids involved when they go to the grocery, it's like, hey, eggs are, gosh, used to be, I was supposed to say $3, $10, eggs are $10 a dozen. And they can understand, okay, wow, $10, that's a lot. Like, okay, well, like for them to start to have the concept, like, but that ice cream cone, how much was that, mom? Well, that was $5. I'd rather have two ice creams. You know, just, I think that's important. Just getting the brain thinking of what is the perceived value of X versus Y.
Yep. Yeah. I think that can be done by starting early and just educating them along the way, like you said, Jerrion.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, hopefully that's helpful. And I would just say, you know, if you have more questions about this topic or you want our help as far as more ideas specific to your, you know, child's level of understanding with money or their age, or if they've never had any of this, you know, we're happy to give some more pointed thoughts to you. So
yeah,
please reach out anytime.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us today, everyone.
All right. We'll be back. See you all soon.
Any opinions are those of myself and not necessarily those of Raymond James. Expressions of opinion are as of this date and are subject to change without notice. The information contained in these podcasts do not purport to be a complete description of the securities market or developments referred to in this material. The information has been obtained from sources considered to be reliable, but we do not guarantee that the foregoing material is accurate or complete. Every investor situation is unique, and you should consider your investment goals, risk tolerance, and time horizon before making any investment. Prior to making an investment decision, please consult with your financial advisor about your individual situation. Any hypothetical examples are for illustration purposes only. Actual investor results will vary. Raymond James does not provide legal or tax services. Please discuss these matters with the appropriate professional.